Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon earth. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses life for my sake find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive the reward of a righteous man. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to each of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to the 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their town. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sisters, as we pray for the postulants who become novices today, as they take the habit for the first time, they receive a new name, we mark this feast of Our Lady Mount Carmel. All of us at some point in our life have taken on her scapular, enrolled ourselves in a special relationship with Our Lady. As the Carmelites teach it, there are three purposes to this devotion. To take on the scapula means, first, a sense of belonging to Mary. We're not strangers. Second, there's an interior belonging, which we call consecration. It's not just an external sign that we have a relationship with her, but that on the inside, we entrust the title of our life to her. We allow her not just to have part of our life, but in a sense to direct it with her maternal love. The third part, Carmelites tell us, is imitation, that we seek, like Mary, to become a handmaid of the Lord. The beginning of this Mass, we pray a prayer influenced by the Carmelites, which is strange at its surface. I guess you have to be like John and Teresa and various Carmelite poets truly to appreciate it in a Roman rite that is far more literal than what we ask for because of its noble simplicity and poetic. We ask through Mary's help to assist us to reach the mountain who is Christ. That Christ is depicted as a mountain. Obviously Mount Carmel, according to the Carmelites, but that the whole journey of life is this hike to become more and more like Christ. And it's Mary who helps us. It's why we belong to her, consecrate ourselves to her and imitate her. Because she is at the summit of that love of her son and gives it back. Today in the readings we see ways in which we very much need the help of our mother to make it to the top of that mountain. The first reading from the first chapter of Isaiah, we see God's extraordinary call to conversion given to the people of Isaiah's day in Judah. He woke them up by calling all of them princes of Sodom and people of Gomorrah. they might have thought that their sins were small. They might have thought that they were just making sacrifices with mixed intentions. They were still making sacrifices, weren't they? But God had sent Isaiah out to call them to a profound conversion. So he got their attention right off the bat, that he didn't care for the number of their sacrifices. Didn't matter all their whole burnt rams or the blood of calves, lambs, and goats. How much incense, how many feasts of new moon and Sabbath, calling of the Kahal, the assembly, octaves. He said, I cannot bear your wickedness. I won't listen even though you pray more. Why? Because your hands are full of blood. Not just the blood of sacrifices, of animals to God, but the blood of others. And so we summon them, wash yourselves clean, put away your misdeeds, cease doing evil, learn to do good, make justice your goal, redress the wrong, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow. In other words, if you're going to worship me, you have to love others, and you have to sacrifice, and you have to care for those that others aren't caring for. Our Lady is one who not only always prays for our conversion, but urges us toward that conversion. Yesterday I was working on something for Archbishop Bausa for September, in which he will visit the National Shrine of Our Lady of La Salette in my diocese to celebrate the patron feast mass. And we know the summons of Our Lady of La Salette to conversion in our prayer, to conversion with the way that we live Sunday, in conversion toward the sacrament of confession, toward conversion toward fasting. Mary's always seeking that conversion in us. And she shows us what the ultimate goal of conversion is. It is a pure heart like hers that lead to pure hands. She who was washed clean from the first moment of her existence never ceases for us to be bathed in her Son's living water. Second thing we see about Our Lady is that she is the mother of the family Christ himself came to found. But that new family is going to be perhaps disruptive to the old. Just like when someone gets married, sometimes the in-laws don't accept. Sometimes there can be tension between old loves and new prioritized loves. So with Jesus. At the end of his instructions to the apostles, he summarizes it with perhaps the strongest words that could intimidate, that could bother the disciple, but then also the strongest consolations. You remember what he said when he gave them the first instructions? Announce the kingdom of God is at hand. When you enter a house, say, peace to this household. Peace to this household. He was coming to bring peace to families. And yet here, he says, don't think I've come to bring peace. In fact, I've come to bring a sword. And that sword's actually going to divide households. Come to set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. One's enemies will be in one's own home. How are these two things compatible? Because it's precisely through that sword cutting off merely human relations that we're going to be able to have real peace in a home. Through the supernatural relations, as everything gets the new wineskin in the relationship with the Lord. And if not everybody's on that page, that's where division ensues. When those who want to be higher than God in others' estimation get jealous because somebody else reprioritizes. That's why Jesus is clear that to be worthy of him, he must be God in our life. We can't put father, mother, son, or daughter, or our own self-preservation above him. But he promises that if we lose our life for his sake, it's then and only then that we will find it. When we give it away, get it. Our Lady is someone who shows us how this is. when Jesus announced that he was coming to form a family, he did it in a scene in which his mother and all his cousins were outside waiting to speak to him. And Jesus clarified that he had come to found this family, and his family members, his mother, his brothers and sisters, would be those who hear the word of God and do it. And Mary again not only prays for that outcome, she shows us how it is done, listening so attentively that the word could take on her own flesh and dwell in her womb. Mary is the mother of that family precisely because she is one who does this. Mary wants to help us to have new relations with each other. So more than human friendship, which is a beautiful good, more than just unity in one's vocation as a Christian, as a Catholic, as a sister of life, but truly familial relations in which Christ's peace reigns, in which the sword that cuts away other priorities allows us truly to have the peace in which he reigns between us. This is a high mountain to climb, but it is one in which Mary hikes with us. Jesus at the very end gives some extraordinarily consoling words that even though we will experience rejection, we'll experience rejection preaching the gospel among our own kin, we'll experience rejection in certain of these homes, they'll drag us before governors and kings, they'll scourge us in houses of worship, we'll be hated by all, he says. But those who receive us, wow, whoever receives you receives me, whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Just in receiving you, they're receiving God. And if anybody acknowledges the Lord among men, that one will be acknowledged before the Father, as Jesus told us. Whoever receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. Incredible. Whoever receives a just man because he's just will receive the reward of a just man. In other words, Jesus is basically promising heaven and eternal glory to those who simply receive those sent in his name. What an extraordinary gift that is. And if we're not impelled to share the kingdom simply because we want somebody to be enriched by the peace that comes from that kingdom, Jesus is saying we should be zealous to share it simply because if anybody accepts us, if a peaceful person lives in a home, just by receiving us, Jesus will remember it forever. Whoever receives you receives me. For I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And on days like this where it's so humid outside and I'm giving a speech and I can't carry my jacket and I'm sweating like crazy, that cup of cold water in the morning, you just don't know how much it can be appreciated. And I drink it to the dregs, sister, because whoever prepares it will not lose a reward. It gives me great joy that the Lord will be able to say to you, whoever you are, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. These are the instructions Jesus gives us. This is what Mary's praying for us to assume. As we remember how much we belong to her, consecrate ourselves to her anew and seek to imitate her. She is the one who shows us how to convert to this new familial reality and to keep climbing up that mountain where she is at her son's eternal right.